correspondingly clear. There's nothing.
Good morning. Who is excited to be in the house of God this Sunday morning? Amen. Amen. We are excited that you are here. If it is your first time, if it is your 100th time, we are excited that you made it into the house today. Go ahead and stand up. We're going to begin to move into worship, move into praise, but just go ahead and turn to your neighbor and give him the highest high five that you can get. The highest. I better not see any bent elbows in the house this morning. And as all of our hands are lifted, we're going to move into a time of praise. We're going to begin to glorify our King of Kings and our Lord of Lords. And we're going to make the decision today. I don't know what you faced last night. I don't know what you're facing walking in here. But God's going to get my praise this morning. Amen. Who can look the devil in the face and say, God's going to get my praise this morning? So begin to give God a hand clap. Begin to lift up your voice. And let's move into his presence today. Jesus.
Give my praise. God's gonna give my praise. glory, all the honor. My God is more than enough. He can supply all my needs. He is my El Shaddai. He always looks out for me. Jehovah Jireh, oh, he is my God. Oh, Jehovah Jireh, hey, he is my God. Why don't you join me sing, my God?
My God is more than enough. He can supply all my needs. He is my El Shaddai. He always looks out for me. Jehovah Jireh.
Victory. God's victory. say hallelujah through every trial, every test, and still come through? No matter how high the ways are, no matter how low that valley is, to say hallelujah, that's when God comes through. That's when he shines through every time. Just to lift those hands a little higher, just to jump a little higher, just to yell a little higher, to see through the storm and see the God that is reaching out his hands. To have that faith, to have that boldness. I say it today, if you haven't done it yet, get out here. Get out of your comfort zone. Say hallelujah anyhow. God doesn't care how big the trial is. God doesn't care how big the giant is. He's killed it before. This is not more powerful than your God. So whatever you have on your heart, whatever on your mind, it is not by the power of your faith, but it's by the excellency of his spirit. He doesn't care where you are. He is always there, and he will move. So whatever you have on your heart, whatever need, for prayer requests, we have David Young, Dee Dee Freeland, George McCool, Ruthie Fleming, Ashley Christian, Cindy Pinson, Lori Bolt, Charity Emery, Colby Hicks, Sadie Sanyama, Steve Gordon. Each and every one of us have somebody in our hearts. It may be you. So I ask and I urge that you will just lift your voice a little higher, that you will pray just a little harder. And if you're called to step out, then ministers will anoint you with oil. So we pray, God, we thank you for allowing us together in your fellowship, Lord. And in your holy name, we proclaim that you will do all things. Lord, by your grace and your goodness, oh.
the broken, and He's the healer of my soul. He's my redeemer of all my yesterdays, and I will bless the name. Maker of the heavens, all the ocean and the skies. Let all the earth rejoice, Lord, it is You.
Participating in a six-week series. Who has enjoyed the series that greatness is God's gift to you? We enjoyed that? Praise God. We encourage you to continue to make it to those midweek classes, those Wednesday nights, to continue with that series. Today, we're going to be having our pastoral candidate ministering to us. We are excited to have the move of God this morning, but also tonight. Amen. Are we ready to preach with the preacher? Let's have a move of God today. Does that sound good? I don't want to get out of bed to not have a move of God. If I was going to stay the same, I just would have stayed home. It wasn't a far walk. I mean, I'll be honest with you. Some of y'all came from a lot further than I did. But I'm ready for God to move in our life, in this service, in our community, in this city, in the kingdom. I believe it. This next week as well, on the 16th, we'll have another pastoral candidate ministering in the morning and the evening service. So make sure that you are there for that. On the 16th will be Outreach Alliance. They will be having an event hosting. It will be Sundays after Sunday service. That's clever. I get it.
And
Sunday.
It's free for everyone. Yes.
Who likes ice cream? Who didn't raise your hand because you were feeling shy? Yeah, it's for you. All right. Sundays for you, 16th Outreach Alliance. Make sure you are there on the 18th. It's going to be Ladies United Fellowship at Bratcher's Nursery at 6:30 p.m. I believe there's a sign-up sheet in the foyer. Could be. And if there is, sign up. If there's not, just grab somebody that looks like they can write and give them a piece of paper, and they will make one for you, and you will sign up. It's going to be a great time. We also have on the 23rd monthly mission pledge will be due. On the 25th will be our church business meeting. That will be on a Tuesday night. And we are also having going on right now a prayer and fasting train for this pastoral transition for those involved, for the team, the families. There is a sign-up sheet in the foyer where you just select a specific day of the week and you pray and you fast for all that are involved in the transition. And we believe that God is going to have his hand in every single part of that. Amen. That the future is looking bright for the UPC of Paris, and we are excited for what God is going to do. And we also have our Ladies Joy Conference. Ladies, if you are not signed up, it is going to be April 3rd and 4th. Online registration is open. So get registered, plan to go. It is going to be a great time. And let's have our ushers come. Let's take our tithe and our offering, and let's continue to worship and move into God's presence today. Father, thank you for what we have felt in this place, but God, thank you for what you have in store. So God, I pray that we give unto you cheerfully and knowing that we cannot outgive you, but bless what is given, bless the giver. The word is anointed, so God, anoint the man of God to minister to us, to receive and to respond in Jesus' name.
Thank you. and shake someone's hand and let them know how happy you are that they're sitting beside you this morning. All of our visitors, we welcome you this morning. We are so happy to be in the house of the Lord and so happy to see each of you here today. How many of you love our brother and sister Bill? Amen. Praise God. Sister Denise, always love seeing you and hearing you sing the words of God. You may be seated for a moment. Our children are having children's church this morning, so that is the reason that there's a little bit less number in here this morning. Not to mention, it had to come another cold front. I thought we was going to have spring, didn't you? Back in 2017, I suffered a massive stroke, and they told my wife that I probably would not live through the night. And I got a big head, but my head kept swelling because of the blood clot that was in the vein in my brain. I remember parts of it, and it seems like more of it comes back to me, but 2 or 3 days later, when they said I'd be a vegetable state if I survived, my wife, of course, praying, lots of people praying, and they told me that I wouldn't get out of the hospital, I'd go to a nursing facility. I was in Wisconsin. Lord, there's no place like Texas. I love my family up there, and I think Wisconsin is a beautiful place, but I wanted to be in Texas. But more than that, I said, don't put me on life support. Don't stick me in a nursing home. I prefer just let me go. I'm ready. I can go see Jesus. I was a young man then. And I thought, that's okay. They grabbed a psychiatrist and had him in there within a few minutes and said, Mr. Dickey, you're too young to want to die and give up. I said, I'm not wanting to die and give up, but I'm ready. I was in pain. I had severe head trauma. I had so much pain that the medication was not even helping and couldn't see. I was blind for several days. I'm not bragging on this person, but I love this person. And got a text from Sister Denise. Here's where the tears come in. And it was just a song. She said, Brother Dickey, Sister Dickey, I'm in the kitchen and I'm just going to sing you a little song. It's no music, nothing great. Sister Denise, do you remember? But the Holy Ghost was there. And she began to sing, I'm coming up the rough side of the mountain. Right out my hospital window was the hills and the bluffs of Wisconsin. They look like mountains to us Texans because we believe in the prairie. But I looked out and I thought, I will look into the hills from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord. My vision was blurry, but my headache began to cease. And Sister Denise, for the first time, I moved my body and threw my legs off the side of the bed and sat up. And we began to glorify God right there in that room, just me and my wife, because God is a healer today. Whatever you have need of, my God is able to heal your body. Cancer, my God is able to heal your body. Stroke, my God is able to heal your body. Diabetes, my God is able to heal your body. He can even raise the dead from the grave. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Glorify him this morning, church. We live in a day and an hour when the Lord is doing great and wonderful things. Brother Clark was telling me how the Spirit of God fell on him this week. He said, Brother Dickey, something I hadn't felt in all my life. The power of God fell on me. I began to weep and cry. My wife said, what's wrong with you? He said, I couldn't even talk, for the Holy Ghost was on me so strong of intercessory prayer. Somebody say, thank you, Jesus. Aren't you glad you know about the power in the name of Jesus Christ, that he saves, that he delivers, and he is able to help anyone. He heals and he saves and he delivers those on drugs today. Amen. He's able to take care of the alcoholic today. Amen. He can meet your financial need today. Somebody say amen. And he's got his hand on America, and we're going to make it, but greater than that, he's got his hand on the United Pentecost, and he's got his hand on the church here in Paris. And great and wonderful things is he going to do. Give him one more hand clap of praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He's worthy. He's worthy. Praise God. I'll be in trouble when I get home, Sister Lisa, because I'm not supposed to do that. According to my wife, I'm supposed to behave. Whew! You can't get up here, Brother Darren, and not feel the power of God. Thank you, music. I don't want to say musicians, but musicians and singers and all, for the power of God that we feel here today. We had a beautiful meeting with with Brother and Sister Sparks yesterday, about 3.5 hours together, and shared, and they shared their heart and we shared ours. And I want to tell you, church, our organization is in good hands with these men that are stepping into the ministry. Don't you worry about the United Pentecostal Church. It's going to be fine. It's going to be okay. God is raising up men in this hour to preach the gospel to this last generation. The pastoral team, transition team, would like to introduce to you Brother Michael and Sister Madeline Welch as applicants for the pastoral opening. They have 2 children, Mary Adeline, 17, Michael Kennedy, 4 months, 17 months, I'm sorry. Michael Kennedy, 4 months. Brother Sparks has a master's in pastoral counseling and family care from Urshan Graduate School of Theology. While there, he was a student body president and served intern under Pastor Tom Trimble for 3 years, graduating with honors. He has a Bachelor of Arts in Biblical Studies from Indiana Bible College and was class president, graduating with honors. Sister Sparks has a Bachelor of Arts in Music Ministry from Texas Bible College. She was a member of the TBC Choral. She lived, she did live album soloists for 2017 and 2019. Title track band leader. She was a TBC NAYC pianist, music club president, and also graduated with honors. And what a beautiful resume and history of education that they have. But I was witness to the Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Ghost and the power and the anointing in their lives as we shared around that table yesterday. And I want to tell you, when it became my time to ask my question, I said, whew, I feel like I've been in church. It was a wonderful, wonderful meeting there yesterday. Thank you praying for the team. Thank you for fasting for the team that we might do the will of God for this congregation. And let's just keep believing. Brother and Sister Sparks are coming, and we are going to turn the service from here on over, even the dismissal, to Brother Sparks so that he may do what he feels led to do. I also want to encourage you to come tonight. I know what day this is, but I know there is only one God, and his name is Jesus. How many of you know that? And I also know if you are so inclined, there's a little button on your recorder that can record, and you don't have to miss tonight's service, because if you do, you're going to miss something great. Brother and Sister Sparks, come and let God have his way. Amen.
Amen. God bless you so much. You may be seated this morning. Whenever they asked us to come, I didn't know it was Super Bowl weekend. But we don't have to worry. The Cowboys aren't playing, so. Now I lost all of you. My wife's going to sing and get you back, so. It's an honor to be here. It's an honor to meet all the members of the board, pastoral transition team. You have a lot of great men, and I'm thankful that we got to meet them this week. And the music this morning, wow. I've been to a lot of churches, and they don't have church like you guys had this morning. You ought to be thankful you get to come to church where you can worship God like that. Thank you for leading us in worship this morning. That was wonderful. And to the church, you guys have been so friendly to us. We really appreciate that. The Kirkendalls are here. God bless y'all. They left my father-in-law's church to be here today, so I hope I'm not in trouble today. And last, before my wife sings, I'm thankful for my family being here. My oldest daughter, Mary Adeline, is back in the back room. First time she's been to Sunday school is in Paris, Texas. So we hope that teacher's not suffering too much back there today. Our youngest, Michael Kennedy, I think we had a line of people wanting to hold him this morning. And he's my young son. And then my beautiful wife, I thank God every day he gave me her, because you know what? There's a lot of people that screw up when they get married. Some of y'all ain't saying anything. I'm praying for you right now. Some people make some tough decisions, but when you get the right person in your life, God has a way to orchestrate something special, and God placed her in my life, and I am so thankful for that. You ought to be thankful God gave you a good spouse today. You ought to look at your spouse and say, thank you. I'm glad God gave me you. I see some of you not looking. I'll pray for you too. Altars are open. Come on up. My God, you're already in trouble. Counseling will be after service. We'll get somebody for you. Amen. Amen. Sing, Sister Madeline, I love you. Sing, amen.
I will bless the Lord. Oh.
Hallelujah. Would you bless the Lord for a minute? Hallelujah. We love you, Lord. We love you, Lord. Great are you, God, and greatly to be praised. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We've come in here to glorify the Lord this morning. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Numbers chapter 36 and verse 7. I know everybody gets excited when you start preaching from Numbers and Leviticus. So here we go. Numbers 36 and 7, and we used to say, do you have your Bible? But man, aren't you blessed? They got it on the screen for you this morning. Thank you, media team. Thank you, Brother Micah back there. Man, I appreciate that. Amen. Appreciate that this morning. Then we'll go to Matthew 16, 18 after that. Amen. Again, it is wonderful to be here with all of you, and we look forward to meeting many more of you afterwards. Numbers 36, verse 7. So shall not the inheritance of the children of Israel remove from tribe to tribe, for every one of the children of Israel shall keep himself to the inheritance of the tribe of his fathers. Matthew 16, 18 states, and this is Jesus speaking to Peter, and I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. This morning I want to preach a little while on I moved into the church. I moved into the church. Look at your neighbor, tell them you're glad they made it this morning. Look at somebody, tell them they look nice this morning. You don't have to lie, but at least try. Try to tell them they look good this morning. Amen. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you for your many blessings. Bless us today. Open our ears, God, and you may be seated. Amen. Thank you so much for being in the house of God. We showed up yesterday, and I said, man, this is beautiful. What beautiful weather. And then we go to unload last night. It's like a storm comes through. It's 39 degrees. I said, I'm ready to go to Miami or something. It's like, what's happened to the weather around here? Y'all some kind of bipolar something going on, I tell you. Amen, but we are glad to be here. Nestled in ancient Israel, the Jezreel Valley boasted a breathtaking landscape. It's where fertile lands were at. It's where the Kishon River flows through there, and the mountain runoff would help the grounds be fertile. And if you ever looked at photos of this area, you would want to take a vacation there. If you love nature and you love going to these places like throughout the U.S., the mountains or in Montana, one of the most beautiful places I've ever seen is in Montana. And you would want to travel there because it was so, so beautiful and the grounds were so ready for harvest. And if you like to garden like I do, it helps when you have some good soil out there. Anybody garden around here? No, no gardeners. Okay, well, we'll... I thought we was in country land. Oh, nobody gardens. But it's nice when you have some good land to plant something. Otherwise, you're out there trying to fertilize it and put something in there so something will grow. But it was in this area that production from produce was great because of the climate and the topography of where it was at. And because of the climate, they treated it as like a snowbird retreat. The kings of Israel would escape to this area because... When it would cool off in the kingdom, they would want to go somewhere where it was warm, and so they would head down into the valley. And here in 1 Kings chapter 21, we find a man named Naboth, who owned a vineyard in the Jezreel Valley. And it's somebody that we don't know a lot about through Scripture. He's not very profound. It's not like he's Elijah or Elisha. He's just Naboth, who's married and has a lot of sons, who owns a vineyard. But he owned a vineyard in the Jezreel Valley. In ancient land, it was far more than just property. Today, we own property for a couple years, and we're ready to move on to something better. I don't know. My wife's not in here. My wife loves to look on Zillow and Realtor at the properties, right? This house just came on. We need it. I said, babe, we ain't got the money. Who's getting a job to get that house? I get it's got 25 bedrooms and 15 bathrooms. Who's paying for that? I mean, at least it's better than Target. She can't buy it either, so we're good. Going to Target, man. I'm not going to go there this morning, but... But it was more than just land. In this time, it was land that they truly believed that was entrusted to them by God. It was for their family and for their family to come. And it was for generation to generation to safeguard what God had given them. Whenever they were given the land, they weren't thinking what they could sell it for or what they could do with it. Papa handed it down as a vineyard. It's going to be a vineyard for me. There's a lot of things handed down from generation to generation. Problem is that some things aren't very good. I've met a lot of people that have been handed down generational curses from one family to the next, and that's where we got to start working on breaking some curses. But there's a lot that's handed from one family to the next, and we got to be careful as parents, as grandparents, that we're handing down something good and something godly to our family. I get you had drug addicts in your home. Don't pass that to your children. I get you struggle with alcohol. Don't pass that to your children. I get you struggle with your mouth a little bit and you like to say things you shouldn't. Don't pass that to your children. It's okay. I'm going to just talk to you a little bit if you want me to. We pass down stuff from generation to generation. I told my wife, I said, we got to be careful before we have kids. We need to be sure that we're set in the way we want to raise our children. We're going to raise them that the house of God is the most important thing that they'll ever experience in their life. They don't have to question where we'll be on Sunday. We're going to be a church. They're not going to question if we worship, if we raise our hands, if we jump, if we shout. We're doing it. We run into problems at church because I don't understand it, and I thank God our young people are on the front today, but nowhere in Scripture did it say to send the young people and the children to the front and make them lead us in worship. But what we see is examples like in Exodus where it said, hey, dads, you go apply some blood to the doors and let your kids see you doing it. What we need, and we're missing out on this, is we need some parents to say, hey, honey, come with me right now. I'm going to run the aisle, and I want you to go with me. We don't worship here by ourselves. I grab my daughter, and I say, we're worshiping. I get you're 2 years old, but you got to start learning now. All right, all right. Ooh, I'm feeling it. Somebody give me a Gatorade. I'm ready to go this morning. It's important what we instill in them. I've met a lot of good people that you can tell their children it's been instilled in them that we're going to watch football. We're going to dance when they score a touchdown. We're going to wear the gear of the football. Now, I'm not nothing against you. You can wear your Cowboy stuff if you want. I'm a Titans fan, and they're losers too. You can do what you want. But let me tell you this. I'm going to spend more money on my church clothes because I want to look good when I show up to the house of God. I'm going to make sure whenever I clap for my team, I'm clapping at church to let them know that he's been far better to me than anybody out there playing football. I don't even know who they are. I'm feeling the Holy Ghost. Oh, I already got chairs up here. Y'all want me to sit down? Man, I had a grandpa. I loved him, and he passed away, but he was 70 years old, and man, he would, whenever the Vols, Tennessee Vols would score, and they beat Oklahoma, praise God, whenever they would score... I'm sorry if you're an Oklahoma fan. God bless you. But whenever Tennessee would score, now at church, this is what he did. But whenever Tennessee scored, my grandpa, I ain't ever seen so much energy flow through him. It wasn't like he had a rock, but he jumped out of his chair and went, touchdown! And I said, Grandpa, what did they do for you? I said, what are you doing at church? I said, I know I'm the grandson here, but Grandpa, where's that energy at church? Oh, I'm going to go back to the pulpit. Y'all ain't liking me. Y'all ain't liking me this morning. I'm feeling it this morning. Hey, that football team ain't ever delivered you from drugs. That football player ain't ever pulled you out of a bar and delivered you from something. That football player has never restored a marriage. But what God can do, God can put things back together. That's where you're at today. You're at a house of God where the miraculous happens. You know why I jump and why I shout and why I worship? He's been too good to me. I get it. We're not emotional people. We're just not emotional. We just don't show emotional. You know what? I have been with my wife when she finds a dress that was $200 at H&M marked down to $20, and you want to see some emotion? Woo! Honey, give me the card. It's on sale. I never found a deal this good. I'm not emotional.
I said, no, I've been out on a boat with people that caught a bass, and they pull that out of the water and they go, whoa, look at my bass. I ain't emotional. You're emotional for what you want to be emotional for. The problem is you've been saved for so long, some of us kind of get in a rut, but you need a preacher to get up here and remind you, aren't you thankful you serve a God that didn't leave you where you were at? Hey, there's some of you that had some mouths that your mama wouldn't be proud about, but God washed that out of you, and you've been delivered, and you've been... Woo, come on, somebody, just worship the Lord with me. Hallelujah. If you haven't found out yet, I am an emotional preacher. I learned a long time ago, and man, I appreciate what you said this morning. I didn't get out of bed, fight my two kids, trying to get them ready. We got toddlers. It's a fight. I didn't fight them, trying to get them together, have them spit up to change their clothes again, to have the next one rip their clothes off and have to put it back on, to constantly fight and try to figure out what they're going to put all this together, to drive on the way to church here and hear them yakking at each other the whole way here just to show up and sit here and look good. Don't I look good today? I didn't come for that. I came here because I know this is a house of God where the supernatural's going to show up, where God's going to work. I know you look good. I like that tie. But I didn't show up to see how good you look or try to make a business connection. I came here because I want God to show up. I want God to move. Woo! Hallelujah. Oh, man, y'all, that's dangerous. I didn't even start a timer. I'm sorry. Okay, y'all don't time it this morning. I don't even know. I got to get that off. Praise God. I'm so glad you came to church. Thank you for letting me bully you this morning. Oh, man, thank you, Jesus. You have to remember the reason you're here today is because somebody prayed for you. I'm here to tell you that you didn't just show up because you're just so good. You didn't stay in the church because you're just so fine. You stayed in church because there was a lot of people that fasted for you. There were a lot of people who fought for you. You don't know how many grandmas and daddies were in a prayer room fighting a battle behind your back you didn't know about. I remember my uncle, he told my grandma, he said, I'm going to go out there and party in the world. You know what my grandma did? She went behind his back to make sure he suffered while he tried to party. I'm going to go have a good time. She said, well, I'm going to the prayer room. I'm going to go make sure I do everything in the world. She said, that's fine. I'm going to fast till you come back. And you know what she did? She hit that prayer room. She kept fasting and fasting. And you know what? He told her he wasn't out of church very long because he couldn't stand it. And he got back into church, but he told her, he said, Mama, I don't know what you were doing. But he said, I stayed out partying as much as I could. I got two jobs and only slept 2-3 hours a night because every time I laid my head down, scripture started coming to my mind. Children's church songs started coming to my mind. He said, those were like 10, 15 years ago. I learned that stuff. Why? Because there was a praying mama back there that said, Lord, I don't know where he's at right now, but I need some quickening in that spirit. Lord, he doesn't belong out there. He's a preacher. You need to stir him up and change his heart. You're here because somebody prayed for you, fasted for you, fought for you, nurtured for you. There's a lot of people that have their hands on your life that you may never notice. And here it was that Naboth had put a lot of work into his land and cultivated, and there were marks on his hands to show all the scars. And when we're dealing with the vines and dealing with the land, and he invested in his children. And I'm sure as he grew up, he probably heard the great stories of the miracles that he heard that happened on his land as many great pioneers of the faith went through there. And he saw, like Deborah and Jael, he heard the stories of them. And he heard of Gideon that had his great victory in the land. And he also heard of the tough times the church had. where Saul and Jonathan died on that land, and where the Ark of the Covenant was lost on his land, but it was still their land. We have some tough times in the church. There are some things that go on in the church, but it's still our church. I'm going to say it again. There are some things that happen in the church, and there's some things that we don't really like happening, but it's still our church. It's our church. You need to take ownership of this place. This is my church. I don't just show up here. I belong here. I don't just show up here on Sunday. I live here. So he cultivated the land and trained his children. And my God, if I had my son right now, I'd preach with my son. I'd look at my son. He's back there. He's the good-looking guy. Stand up for everybody to see you, buddy. Yeah, smile away. Yeah, you the man. Yeah, you the man. But son, let me tell you what. Grandpa's put a lot of years into the truth. And you're going to be in the truth. I've took a lot of time to study the Word of God, and I'm going to instill the Word of God in you, and for generations to come, you're going to preach and declare the Word of God. Oh, you don't give him a freedom. You got to give him a choice. I ain't giving my son a choice to leave the church. He's going to be in the church. Well, they can choose what they want to do. Hogwash, I put a lot of money in that kid. I changed a lot of diapers on that kid. You will be a Pentecostal. You're going to run. You're going to jump. You're going to speak in tongues because that's what the Bible says to do. Y'all done with me. I already see that. Y'all, I mean, telling that kid what to do. You better believe I am. If I'm not telling him what to do, he's going to go to school. They're going to tell him he can be a girl. Oh, did I say that too? If I don't tell him what to do, somebody else will. So I'm going to go ahead and start proclaiming over his life that greater is he that is in him than he that is in the world. And God has called him and put him in our life to raise him up for such a time as this, that he is going to help win this world and win the people in it. That's what my son is going to do. I don't want you to be a football star. I don't want you to be a basketball star, but I want you to win our world. That's how I'm raising my son. And whenever the king showed up, man, you got to think Naboth's vineyard was in a beautiful spot. What a view. What a place. It was luscious, and he had a lot of grapes and a lot of growing there. And it says that the king Ahab looked at his land and desired his land. And he said, I want to make it a garden of herbs. There's only one other place in Scripture where Garden of Herbs is referenced, and that's in reference to Egypt. The king, the church, was trying to turn them into something that looked like the world. He was trying to, let me tell you what, I'm going to tell you right now, if you don't like me, that's fine, don't have me back. This is not a place that needs to look like the world. God has called us out of the world to be separate from the world. We don't do things like the world does. We don't act like the world does. We don't partake in the things that the world does because he's called us out of the world. And so Naboth, he said, he went up to Naboth. He goes, hey, man, look. Let me have your vineyard, and I will give you a better one. And there's never a moment given to this, but Naboth responds and he says emphatically, the Lord forbid that I should give the inheritance of my ancestors. He said, you know what? I can't give this up because I got a grandpa that put something in this place. I can't sell what I have because my daddy put something into this place. And what we need to determine in our lives is this is not just about your decision. It's a family decision. You got a whole family destiny that's in you, and you're making a choice for the family. What I do is not going to affect my family. You're kidding yourself. if I miss church, it's not going to affect me. You're kidding yourself. Your kids know what you're doing. They see what you're doing. And you're planting something in them that's showing them that God's house is not important, that God's property and the things of God are not important. And my God, we got to instill it in our kids that you got to get part of the church. And this thing isn't for sale. God has put it in my grandpa. God has put it in me. And God's put it in you. Y'all ain't left me yet. Thank you. Let me tell you this. The church is fine. If you're looking for what is wrong with the church, you can search far and wide and find out what's wrong with the church. You can go to Amazon and you can find a slew of books that'll tell you all the shortcomings of the church. You can go to seminary and they'll teach you classes on what the church needs to fix. You can go on Facebook, Instagram, Almost Banned, TikTok. You can find all kinds of junk on the internet about what's wrong with the church. But I think what we need to do is have some talk about what is right with the church. We've let too many people tell us all the bad things about the church, but the church ought to rise up and say, whoa, 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 let me tell you some good things about the church. Let me tell you about a church that'll love you and you come in like you are. We're just glad you're here. We love you. Let me tell you about a church we go to that they're going to meet your need where you're at. We serve a God that's able to heal, able to touch, able to restore. We serve a church. Oh, man, let me help you out here. I go to a church where we're all looking to go to heaven together. I go to a church, they don't care what you look like, what your money looks like. We all just want to go to heaven together. This is a church that believes in the infallible word of God. We believe, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. We believe that he is mighty and powerful to do above all that we could ever ask, think, or imagine. Let me tell you what, there are some things that we haven't seen because we haven't asked for it, because our minds aren't brave enough just to ask. Have you thought about that? You know what I told my home church when my dad's at? I said, you know what, some of y'all ought to start praying that God would give you $1 million. I thought, whoa, 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 time out. I said, it's crazy that the church, it says we want $1 million. Now who's going to write us a check? Why can't the God of all creation bless the church to let some church people have some money to give? Well, y'all go ahead and live in your poverty if you want. I've been over there praying, Lord, bless my family. Lord, I don't know how I'm going to get $1 million, but Lord, I'll take it. If they don't want it, I'll pray for it. Hey, it's not about me having $1 million. But you can't give $1 million unless you have $1 million. Why can't our churches give big offerings? Because we ain't got the money. Well, why don't we start praying for it? We have not because we ask not. Some of us ought to start praying some bold prayer. Say, Lord, I'm a child of yours. I'm in the kingdom of God. Why don't you send me a blessing so I can bless the church? Hey, that's fine. Y'all ain't got to take it today. Y'all continue to be poor if you want to. That's all right. I was just telling you, you could be richer than God today. But all right, we'll just go on. Y'all don't want to be rich. Okay, moving on. All right. I begin to think, bring my suitcase up here. Somebody bring my suitcase up here. Yeah, do you mind? There's a suitcase over there by my wife. Yeah, bring it over here. You know, whenever my dad, yeah, thank you. Whenever my dad took the church, I don't know if you guys ever know this, but thank you so much. I appreciate it. Wow, you didn't even have to, you didn't roll it. Wow, thank you. Wow, appreciate that. Whenever my dad took the church, I felt my calling was, I need to make sure that all these pews are cleaned off, looking good for the guests that come in. And I'd go through there and I'd take up everything off the pews and make it look good. And then I found out some church people don't like that. I had people come up to me and say, where did my Bible go? Where did my pillow go? The Lord works in mysterious ways. I don't know. But you may check the back. I don't know. But one day I was cleaning it, and I remember walking by somebody's pew, and I was like, you know what, dear God? It looks like they have moved into the church. I don't even know if they have anything left at their house. It's like they went shopping at Goodwill straight to the church. And I began looking over there. And there was this bottle full of beans. I'm like, what in the world? Is there a bottle full of beans? Now, if you are in the music department, this is banned from all churches, okay? No bottles like this allowed, or tambourines, I think. Is tambourines banned here? Yes, tambourines are banned. Thank God. Okay. All right. If you have a tambourine, God bless you. You can play at home. Amen. Worship at home. I love you. You can, wow, y'all so offended about tambourines this morning. I was like, what in the world do they have a bottle of beans for? And the man, he came in there, he said, man, where's my bottle of beans? And he told my father, he said, you know what? Whenever I was in the world, he said, I took a can, a coffee can, metal one, and I put rocks in that. And he said, whenever I went to sporting events, I'd be up there in the stands, and I would shake it with all my might, and I'd go, ah! Going nuts for my football team. And he said, you know what? That team never did anything for me. And he said, whenever God filled me with the Holy Ghost and gave me some peace inside, he said, how dare I give the world more than I've ever given God? He said, that's why I got this bottle. I know you may not like it, but it's a reminder to me of where God brought me from. I'm never gonna let the enemy worship. Hey, some of you got to be reminded of where you came from. The Lord brought me out of a whole bunch of mess, and I'm going to make sure I worship. I'm going to make sure God knows I love him more than I've ever loved the world. I'm going to make sure God knows I'm thankful for where he brought me from. That'll cause a scene too. Y'all, a bottle of beans and... It's like, wow, that's powerful, man. All right, I guess you can keep your beans this week. And then I saw a lady. I tell you what, this is a good church. This was under the pew, thank God. But you'd think that she'd never seen tissue paper at church. She brought four boxes with her. I promise there was a pillar of tissue boxes on one side. I said, dear God, what are you going to do with all that? And she goes, honey, let me tell you, whenever I start praying for somebody, the Lord's going to move. And there's going to be tears running down the face because when God gets a hold of somebody, they're never going to leave the same. And the last thing I want to do is not be able to say, hey, honey, it's all right. Welcome to church. You're not the only one here that cries. Let me give you a couple of them. And she said, I want to make sure that everybody knows when they come in here that it's okay to cry and say, thank you, Lord, for bringing me out of where I was from. It's okay. Well, I'm a man. I don't cry. Oh, man. I'm going to ask your wife if she's ever seen you cry. I'm sure you cry. There's a lot of things we cry over. When we found out we lost our baby, you better believe I cried. When you face situations in your life, I guarantee you cried. There's things, and we have emotions, and you know what we need to do as men? We need to let our kids see it's okay that we cry at church because we are thankful for where God brought us from, and we're not trying to show off some macho experience. We're some kind of super person, but when God moves on us, however he decides to move on us, that's how I'm going to show my emotion. Whether I'm jumping, whether I'm crying, whether I'm passed out on the floor, I'm thankful for the tissue box. There's many days that she's provided tissue to me in. I used to be, dear God, why did you leave your Bible at church? Don't you think you could probably read that sometime in the week? Some of y'all, You know, you don't have to read this just on Sunday. That's y'all to you, okay. And she goes, honey, that's not, I got like five at home too. But this is my church Bible. I said, why do you got a church Bible? She said, because there may be somebody that comes into church today that ain't got a Bible. And I want to make sure that they get a Bible in their hands and they go home and can read it. And that when pastor's preaching, they can find scriptures, because I want the word of God in their lives. She said, that Bible's not for me, honey. That Bible's for whoever comes through those doors. She was prepared for revival. She was prepared for people coming in. Hey, some of us ought to get prepared for people walking through those doors that don't know anything about God. And when they tell you they don't have a Bible, you can be the first one to say, I got something for you. I got something for you. I'm glad you're here today. That lady moved into the church. Now, y'all don't make fun of me on this one. This one, I had to pack this one hard here this morning. Somebody's laughing. Somebody's on one today. I went over to one seat. It's got a pillow cushion on it. Why in the world are you bringing a pillow cushion to church? And then the dear elder lady showed up at church. And she said, honey, these chairs don't sit like they used to. She said, but I'm making sure I show up to church. And she said, I know I got a cushion here, but I got a lot of testimony here too. And I said, you know what, Sister Elder, you can keep your cushion. I ain't touching that no more. You know what the church needs? We need some elders who show up to church. Bring your cushion if you have to. Why? Because there's a powerful testimony when some elders show up to church. You're not just an old person, let me tell you that. You're not just a person with experience. You're a person full of testimonies. Whenever pastor gets up here and says, we're going to have some revival, you can be the first one to say, amen. Why? Because you've seen revival. When pastor gets up here and says, we're going to see miracle signs and wonders, you can say, oh no, amen. Let me tell you what happens with preaching here. Thank God for Pastor Miles. Man, I mean, that's all I've heard from Brother McGuire is how great he was, because they were like great friends and how great he was. And thank God you guys had such a great pastor for over 40 years. Thank God. But let me tell you, whenever the preacher's preaching and we preach faith and we get up here and we say, God is able to heal. God is able to restore your marriage. God is able to give you $1 million. Wow. Amazing. So good. But you know what happens? Whenever there's somebody in the church that says, thank you for preaching that. Amen. Amen, preacher. Amen, preacher. Hey, I believe that there's going to be a miracle. I believe that I'm going to be blessed today. I believe that my marriage is going to be restored. You know what that does? It starts building a faith in the church. It's not me just saying it, but there's some people in the church that have seen some miracles, that have seen a thing or two. Let me take my shoes off. I have holy ground over here. Let me tell you what. You got to respond when the preacher's preaching, because you're building some faith in the church that you're telling other people, hey, let me tell you what. That's true. I've seen it. If I were to ask you about some miracles, I'm sure some people in here could stand and testify today. Anybody seen a miracle in their life? Oh, has anybody in here seen a deliverance in their life? Come on, is there anybody here today? Is there anybody here that's seen God restore their marriage? Come on. I wish there's somebody that say a few amens here, because there's some people here struggling today that need to hear that it's happened before. Let's try that again. Is there anybody here that's seen God work the miraculous? Is there anybody here that's seen God restore a marriage? Is there anybody here that's seen God do something they can't even explain? Ooh, hallelujah, I feel the Holy Ghost here. Hallelujah. Would you raise your hands right now? I feel the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Come on, we ain't going on. The Holy Ghost is working right now. Come on, church. Come on, church. Come on, church. The Lord's working right now. Hey, oh, Robo, I feel in the Holy Ghost right now. I want the ministers to come. If you're a minister, I want you to come right now. Hey, oh, Robo, Satara, Rabba. Hey, oh, Robo, I want you to face that way. If you're on the minister, I want you to face that way. I feel the Holy Ghost here right now. Do you feel it? Do you feel the Holy Ghost? Hey, oh, Robo, Satara, Rabba. Hey, oh, Robo, Satara, hey, Arabaha, we the only ministers here, brother. Well, we got a lot of praying. Amen. We got a lot of praying. Let me tell you this morning I was, come on, thank you, Brother Dickie. Thank you, sir. This morning I was in the hotel and I had my son down there and my son was just going all over the place and there was a man there trailing work in the front. And I got talking to trailing and, man, if you're watching, man, tonight, remember, you told me you'd be here, 6 o'clock, trailing. And I was talking to him about church, and he goes, yeah, man, you know, we've been kind of floating. My friend, we've been floating around looking at some places because where we're out, you know, we're not sure, you know, we're looking for something. I said, well, there's a church down the road here. Have you ever been over there? He goes, oh, yeah, Brother Meyer. I said, that's right. I said, you need to come there. You know why? Because it's a place we believe that no matter what you come with, God is able to touch your life. And you're not going to leave the same way you came, my friend. Let me tell you what. You want to feel something? Come on to the church. It's not about me. Let me tell you something. God didn't come to build my church. He didn't come to build your church. He came to build His church. This is all about the glory of God. It's God that heals. It's God that restores. It's God that delivers. It's not about us. It's about Him. I feel in the Holy Ghost right now. If you have something going on in your life and you need a miracle, if you need healing in your finances, if you need some kind of restoration in your marriage, I want you to come right now. I want everybody to stand. Would you stand with me this morning? Would you stand with me this morning? Music, you can come on up here. I feel the Holy Ghost here. Come on, would you pray with me right now? Hey, yo, to robo satara rayate yaramaha. He a rokayata ramasia te yaramahaya. He a ramahayata ramaha. As the Holy Ghost starts working on you, if you have a need, I want you to come forward this morning. If you know somebody that has a need, maybe you grab their hand and say, let's go together. Let's go together. If you're on the edges and you're thinking about the church and you're not sure if you want to be part of the church, would you step out this morning and say, it's time I make a decision. I'm joining the church. Come on this morning. Would you come? Would you come this morning? Are you needing a miracle in your body? Would you come this morning? Come on, if you don't want a miracle, that's fine. Go home the same way you are. But if you need a miracle in your body, I want you to step out in faith this morning. If you need a miracle, would you step out in faith this morning? And the pastor ministry team, they're going to pray for you this morning. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Come on, don't go home the same way you came here. Come on, you got family drama. You ought to come up here and you say, God, I need some miracles in my family. Come on, you got some drama on the job. You ought to come up here and say, in the name of Jesus, I need to work on my job. Some of you have backslidden children. You ought to come up here and say, in the name of God, I believe you're going to touch them where they're at this morning.
Fresh wind. falling down from heaven.
Oh, thank you for stepping out in faith. Hallelujah. If you don't have a need, why don't you pray with somebody that came down with a need? If you don't have a need, why don't you pray with somebody that does? Why don't you bind together in faith? Why don't you pray together in faith? Not by my faith, but by our faith. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus.
I'm
Falling on forever.
mind, can we pray right now? He's got a physical thing coming up. We need God to work and God to heal him. Amen. I need some brothers with some faith that'll bind together right now in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Is there anybody else needs prayer before we go this morning? We serve a miracle worker. If you need a healing of your body, come on, you don't have to wait for the doctors to try to heal you. Why don't you give God a chance this morning? Come on, why don't you give God a chance this morning? Come on, we got plenty of faith in doctors. Why don't we put some faith in God this morning? Hallelujah, hallelujah. Anybody else need prayer this morning before we go? Amen. Amen, amen. Thank God for his spirit. We're filling this house this morning. Oh, can we just take a moment and love the Lord right now? Oh, we love you, Lord. We love you, Lord. We love you, Lord. Oh, we love you, Lord. We love you, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Could you just clap your hands, maybe? Could you just love the Lord for a minute? Could you thank God for what he did this morning and what he's continuing to do? I can't wait to hear the reports of what God's doing. Hallelujah. 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 Amen. We look forward to seeing you back here 6 o'clock tonight. Amen. God bless you. Amen. I know the Super Bowl's going. Just come to church and you can watch the team lose afterwards. Come on. Come on, let God show off. Why don't you come and see some miracles, signs, and wonders in the house of God? Amen. We'll see you tonight, 6 o'clock. Hallelujah. 5:30 prayer. Thank you for that. Amen. 5:30 prayer. Let's get prayed up before the miracle.
sing it tonight.